I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Todd, this is remarkable, really is. Thank you for this. I'm going to read the text verse from this Bible up here that he gave me. No, I'm not. Are the J's H's? Huh? Huh? Okay. Mercy. There's a lot of J's. Hamahaya Ohana. Kua, Mikuyanaya, Mimianiho, Ayakuna, He, Ineho, something. How do you read this? You know this. You know this language. Mercy. And boy, that would take some work. But thank you so much. In the front of it, it says to Dr. Norris Belcher, thank you for standing with us over the years to help us complete this task. Todd and Tammy Comstock, 12807. And thank the Lord for this. This is what you guys have been working for. And thank the Lord for this. There's no telling the fruit that will come from this labor. So thank the Lord for it. All right, let's read it in English. I think it'll make a little bit more sense. Verse 22, Matthew 21, verse 22. We have a great prayer promise here. The Bible says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Let me read it one more time. Look at it now. What a promise. And what's the next word? And what?
All
things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, I want to take this positive text and I want to put a negative spin on it tonight. And I want to speak to you on the subject of unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayers. And let's ask the Lord to bless us. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, whether it's in English or whether it's in Spanish or whether it's in the language of the tribe that Todd and Tammy have dedicated their lives to, the Word of God is inspired, and Lord, it is God-breathed book, and Lord, it has the answer, and no matter what the question is, the answer is in the book, and Lord, we thank you for allowing Todd and Tammy to get this finished so that they can give it to their people. And teach their people more of your truth. And Father, I pray now that as we look at your truth tonight, we ask that you will bless it. Father, I pray that you will help me as I speak. I want to be a help tonight, and I want to answer maybe some questions that are on some minds, and Lord, be able to build our confidence in your promises. Lord, you said that in all things whatsoever we ask in prayer, if we believe, then we'll receive it. And so, Lord, help us tonight to understand what you said in this verse. And Lord, help us to take more seriously the matter of prayer and to pray without ceasing. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you accomplish in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. We have a tremendous promise in the verse that I read for you just a moment ago. The Lord Jesus said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And yet, all of us have prayed for things that we did not receive. We, as adults, have prayed for things that we have not received. I wonder what kind of impact that has had upon our minds. I've had through the years many children that have come to me perplexed over the fact that they prayed for a certain thing and they did not get the answer that they wanted. I remember back years ago when I was in the sixth grade, what we called the school patrols. We were the school was in the at the corner of two main roads, and many of the kids walked to school. And every morning for half an hour before school started, and then for a half an hour after school was over, they had the sixth grade boys divided into four groups, and we served a week on what we call patrols. And I was in a one group of guys, and I was a sergeant. Sergeant got to wear, you know, the little white belt you wore, and I got to wear the little badge. It was red, had sergeant underneath it. Man, I thought I was hot stuff. And one day I forgot that we were on that week, and I left my badge at home. And there was a fellow beside of me that had a locker. His name was Fred, and Fred was a sergeant in one of the other groups that patrolled, and they had just come off of their week, and so my week was starting. And I asked Fred if I could borrow his sergeant's badge, and he said, "Yeah, just give it back to me after school today, and then you can bring yours back tomorrow." I said, "Yeah, that's what I had in mind." So I borrowed his sergeant badge. I had not walked 10, 15 feet away from him, and I was putting that badge on that little belt that you wear, and I broke the pin off of it. I mean, just broke it right off. And so I just kept walking. I didn't want Fred to get mad at me, and I knew he would have gotten mad at me. And so I went and did my duties that morning. My job was to take a little pin and stick it in a little box out by the streetlight, by the stoplight. And when I flipped that switch up, the lights all turned red so that the kids could walk across. And I remember thinking to myself, whoever gave me that job didn't think that thing through very well. Nonetheless, that was the position that I had. And I remember sitting there thinking, how in the world am I going to fix this thing? I can't tape it. That won't work. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I just stuck it in my shirt pocket, and I went back to class. And all day long, I mean, folks, all day long, I worried and I fretted over that pen being broken on that badge. I wondered how in the world I was going to tell Fred that I had broken his badge. And so I remembered that my mother used to read us the Bible all the time, and I remember my mom reading a verse of Scripture. I don't know if it was this prayer promise or which one it was, but I remember sitting in Mrs. Stewart's class that day, and with that badge in my pocket, with the pen in my hand, and sitting there praying, "Oh God, please fix this badge. Lord, I know you can do it. You created the heavens and the earth. You can surely fix this badge." And I remember being so burdened about God answering that prayer. And I was praying fervently and feverishly and just begging God to do a miracle and put that pin back on that badge. I remember sitting there just praying my heart out, "Oh, dear God of heaven, creator of the moon and the stars, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of David and Solomon and Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the Boam boys, and the God of David and Solomon and Jeroboam and Rehoboam and Josiah and Hezekiah and Amasa and Jehoshaphat and all the fat people in the world, God, do something here." But he never did it. And I remember going home telling my mom, "God does not answer prayer." I just couldn't understand why God wouldn't answer prayer. Mom told me he would. And I was devastated by that. God didn't fix it. I remember that I was broken because God didn't answer my prayer. Now, folks, there are childish problems which vanish over the years. You understand what I'm saying? It was ridiculous for me to think that God was going to perform a miracle and put that pen back on that badge. I broke it, and I had to just face the fact. And there are childish problems which vanish over the years, but that kind of prayer, that of prayer and not being answered, it never vanishes. We just always, every one of us sitting here tonight, I read this verse of Scripture, and when I read it, there was just this little tinge that went into your heart. And you thought to yourself, "Well, you know, I remember praying about something, and I didn't get the answer to it." Well, we soon grow up and mature in life, but we find the same thing holds true for adults as it does with children. There are some prayers we utter which are not answered in the positive, in the way in which we pray it, and I think that sometimes discourages us from praying. You know, we think if it, well, I prayed about that. I mean, I prayed about that, and but we don't get the positive answer that we want, and so we think that it's that the prayer was not answered. It's almost like we say, "Well, what's the use to pray? God is not going to answer my prayer anyway." And I think that is why in the story, now listen carefully, I think that is why in the story of the Gospels, written for our spiritual help and comforting, we have instances of prayers that were not granted. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, folks, but there are prayers in the Gospels that are sincere prayers that were not granted. Now, would you realize, first of all, before I ever get to the message, would you realize that God is omniscient and that He knows the beginning from the end? And would you realize that He knows what we pray for even before we pray for it? And let's look at a couple of prayers that were not granted by God, not answered by God. Take your Bible and go, first of all, over to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Why do we think that some prayers aren't answered? Why do we think? All right, let's look at it. Let's look at verse 26. Now, you follow along as I read. I got to read several verses here. You follow along as I read the scripture. It says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes." I don't think we're allowed up there. Look at verse 26. It says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither bode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, into the sea of Galilee. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them." Now, folks, think about this. Now, here are these demons, this horde of demons, this band of demons, and they are praying to Jesus that he not send them into the deep. But there's some swine, let us enter into the swine. Look at verse 33. "Then the devils went out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they fed them," by the way, in other words, Jesus answered their request. They besought him, they prayed and said, "Let us go into the swine." And Jesus answered their prayer and let them go into the swine. Nod your heads. All right. Verse 34. "When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes around about besought him to depart. So now all the people that lived in the area, they are praying and they are asking Jesus to leave. They besought him. So they're asking. And folks, that's all prayer is asking. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed, besought him. So now here's the man, the maniac, who is now in his right mind. So he's no longer a maniac. But here is the man of Gadara, and he is now praying. He's beseeching Christ. Notice what he's praying. He says that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away. In other words, he did not answer his prayer, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now, folks, listen. Let's look first at the maniac of Gadara. I'm speaking to you tonight on the subject of unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. This poor fellow was possessed by demons. He hung out at the cemetery, at the graveyard, terrorizing the people that passed by. And when Jesus passed by, the man came out of the tombs, frothing at the mouth, scaring everyone half to death. And Jesus cast the demons out of him. And that is what caused him to pray. When the Lord healed him of this demon possession, that is what caused him to pray. His prayer was that which sprang from an adoring gratitude. It was out of the gratitude of his heart that he prayed and asked to stay with Jesus. You see, folks, this man was so thankful for what the Lord had done for him, he prayed that he would be allowed to accompany the Lord Jesus. I could imagine that he simply did not want to face tomorrow alone. He, after all he had been through, I can just imagine that he did not want to face the rest of his life alone. But instead, he wanted the one who had made him a new creation to always be there so he could glean strength and get encouragement that he certainly would need. And so he prayed that the Lord would allow him to follow the Lord wherever he went. He prayed to be by the side of the Savior. And folks, when you think about it, one would think that Jesus would have answered that prayer. I mean, he was praying to the very person who earlier had said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yet, this prayer that came from such a grateful-hearted man was refused. Now, I find it interesting that the devils prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to allow them to enter into the herd of hogs, and that was immediately granted. The citizens of that region prayed for Jesus to leave their area because he was bad for business, and he granted their request, and he left the area. I mean, it appears, as you read the story, that the Lord Jesus was in a prayer-answering frame of mind, yet this poor man's prayer was rejected. Now, I'm sure to him, it all seemed inexplicable. I have no doubt the news of his rejection was a staggering and a crushing blow to him. I'm sure he felt like the Lord was through with him. He had healed him. He had delivered him. He had saved him, but that's all the Lord was going to do for him. But folks, when you think about it, and when you stop and analyze this story, and analyze the rejection of this prayer, was it really an unanswered prayer? I say to you, it wasn't. It wasn't. When you think about it, this was a wonderful display of grace and mercy. You see, the Lord Jesus saw what nobody else could see. And by the way, He sees in you what nobody else can see. He saw in this man what nobody else could see, and certainly saw what the man of Gadara could not see. What good, now listen to me folks, what good would an alien from Gadara be able to do across the lake for the Jews? Remember now, the people said, leave. They prayed, they besought him, they asked him, leave. And he did. He is going to walk down to the sea, get in a boat, and go across the lake and leave Gadara. He's going to leave Perea and go to Galilee. And so nobody in Galilee knew of this man. There was not a soul on the other side of the lake who knew him when he was possessed by this legion of devils. But everybody on his side of the lake knew who he was. They all knew what he was before he met Jesus. They had all heard his wails coming out of the cemetery, and he was no doubt spoken of around many, many a dinner table in his community. Folks, his prayer was not refused because Jesus spurned him. It was refused in the interest of service. For this fella could do much more at home than he could by traveling to a foreign country with Jesus. And that's why Jesus didn't answer the prayer. You say, well, he didn't. Well, he did answer. He told him no. Hey, folks, look at me. No is an answer. Now, can I remind you that James said that sometimes we don't get the answer to our prayer because we pray that we might consume it on our lust. Folks, God is not a big Kmart blue light special sitting up in heaven just wanting to give you every little whim and fancy that comes along. And what I find here, this man wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said no, but the God that knows everything and sees everything and understands everything knew that this man could do far more where he was than with traveling with Jesus. So when you pray and ask for the bigger things, and that prayer is refused, stop to remember the Gadarene. And see if you are to be doing more now where you are. You see, folks, when a prayer is refused, our tendency is to think that it is not answered. But it is answered. It is just not answered in the positive. It is answered in the negative. And if it's not answered in the positive, we think that that means it's not answered. Oh, no. God sometimes tells us no. But now, wait a minute. When He's God and He tells us no, there's a reason for the no. And so, like the Gadarene, look at what it says in verse 39. He said, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. They before had run him out. Now, after seeing what this guy did and what Jesus did for him, they're welcoming Jesus back. So a no answer is an answer. It may not be what you were hoping, but a no answer is an answer. Everybody understand that? All right, there's a second one. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, in the first part of this chapter, Paul's talking about visions and revelations of the Lord, verse 1. He said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 2, he said, I knew a man. He's talking about himself here. All right, he's trying to be humble. But he said, I knew a man. about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. Now, this air in which we breathe, that's heaven number one. And then you go out into space, that's heaven number two. And then you go to God's heaven, the place, that's heaven number three in the Bible. Three heavens in the Bible. And so here, Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven. Now, when did that happen? Well, could have happened when he got stoned to death. Remember, they left him for dead. As far as they were concerned, he was dead. And that could be when it happened. But anyway, he said, I knew such a man, whether in the body, verse 3, or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how he was caught up into paradise. So Paul died and went to heaven. Remember Les Roloff saying he got up there and realized there wasn't anybody that needed to be saved. He said, Lord, it'd be all right if I go back down again. Nobody up here needs the Lord. But anyway, he came back. Now look at verse 5. He said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a what? Thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now that's not buffet me. That's buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, a second consideration. Let's consider Paul's request concerning the thorn. The Apostle Paul prayed for God to take away this thorn that was in his flesh. How passionately he prayed for that thorn to be removed, we will never know until we get to heaven and hear it from his own lips. But oh, how he begged the Lord to remove this from him. But folks, we need to understand something. It was not for his own ease or comfort that he prayed this prayer. Remember, this is the man who, even in this passage of Scripture, has rejoiced in the fact that he was counted worthy to suffer and to share in the sufferings in the same way his Savior had suffered on the cross. He was not asking to be freed from the pain, from the pain that this thorn brought. Oh, no. Instead, he prayed that he would be free from the thing that hindered him from the preaching of the gospel of Christ. You see, he thought if he had this thorn removed, he'd be able to reach more people with the gospel. What if it were gone? I mean, what if he could appear to the Greeks as a man of strength? For the Greeks loved strength and beauty in a man. And so that was what was in his mind. And on three occasions, the apostle prayed and asked the Lord to remove it. And all three times his prayer was refused. Three times he prayed and three times his prayer was refused. You say, well, Pastor, why didn't he pray a fourth time? Well, I expect that Paul was really only used to praying for a thing one time. And getting results. And so if he prayed three times and the answer he wanted was refused, I just could imagine that as far as Paul was concerned, that was enough. He knew that the prayer had been refused. Was it not answered? Oh, it was answered, but the answer was no. You see, we don't like that, do we? We don't like that. We want it to be yes. We want what we pray for to be given regardless. And when God tells us no, we don't like it very well. But now, wait a minute, folks. That refusal was itself a means of grace. When you read this chapter, you cannot help but see that what the Apostle Paul is praying for and is concerned about here is grace. He's not concerned about himself. He's not consuming this upon his own lust. I mean, that refusal was itself a means of grace. It cast him, body, soul, and spirit, upon the Lord. You see, he is thinking, if the thorn is removed, I'll be able to do a better job for the Lord. But the Lord, who knows all, knew that that was not the case. What was his thorn? Well, we don't know to be absolute. We just don't know for sure. Some think that it was poor eyesight and that he was near blindness and had to be led around by others. Some think that it was a crippling condition that was upon him from all the beatings and stonings that he had to take. And that's reasonable. That would make perfect sense. I mean, if you know, we have the idea in Bible times when they stoned somebody that they took little pebbles and threw them, you know, put them against a wall and threw pebbles at them. Oh, no. They put them in a pit and they dropped boulders on top of them until they buried them under the boulders and their bodies rotted under the boulders. That's what happened when you got stoned. And so, could it be that it was, some debilitating physical problem that caused him to slump? Josephus said that Paul was walked in a completely bent over fashion everywhere he went. And so, we don't know exactly was. But whatever it was, think of this. With the thorn, he goes out to preach. And men see this battered, beaten, war-torn old soldier of the cross, and they hear him proclaim the word of God. When they hear this old beaten man preaching the truth of God's word, they have to realize that the power that is in those words is not from him, but it's from God Almighty. The power is of a divine nature. So once again, in the unanswered prayer, the Lord was honored more than if the prayer had been answered the way Paul wanted. In the unanswered prayer, the Lord was honored more than had God answered the prayer the way Paul wanted. Folks, in the unanswered prayer, there was vision and love and wisdom far more wonderful than any immediate answer would have shown. But notice, in the unanswered prayer, Paul found grace to handle the situation. Thank God for grace. Then lastly, go back now to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now this one's going to shock you. Or I hope it does. We'll begin reading in verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh, what's the next word? Who? Jesus, God's Son. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and what's the next word? He prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time. Is this starting to sound familiar? How many times did Paul pray? All right, watch. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Just like the Apostle Paul, Jesus prayed three times as he agonized in the garden. Could it be the reason Paul prayed three times is because he knew Jesus prayed three? Now, folks, what was Jesus praying for here? Folks, you got to realize there is far more going on here than just the physical agony of the cross. There is more than just the shrinking of the flesh. There was more in that bitter cup than what any of us realize. For in that bitter cup was my sin and yours. I mean, what made the drinking of that cup so awful was that it had all of our sin in it. All of the depravity, all of the debauchery, all of the wickedness, all of the heartbreak, all of the despair, it was all in that cup. And God so loved the world and was so graciously bent on man's redemption that when His own Son in the garden prayed, and with a great deal of suffering, folks, He prayed until great drops of blood came out on His forehead. Yet, His prayer was refused. Folks, let me tell you something. Next time you ask God for something and it is refused, you remember this. God refused to answer the prayer of His own Son. But there was a reason that He did it. There was a reason. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you see, God knew that if He answered this prayer, there would be no cry from the cross. It is finished. If He answered this prayer, there would not be the rejoicing in Mary's heart. Come, for He is no longer in the tomb. He is risen. Folks, had God answered this prayer, when we gather here on Sunday, we would not be able to sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." When if He had answered this prayer and granted the request of His Son, there's not a one of us at any time who could stand up with tears in our eyes and say to everybody, "I'm so thankful that Jesus died for me." Don't you think for a minute the Father wasn't just yearning to grant His Son's request? Don't you think that He afflicted just as much as the Son was afflicted, being a father's heart, being a father with a father's heart? Don't think for a minute that God didn't want to answer that request. But you see, there's always more than what any of us can see, especially when we're right in the heart of it. Oh, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. And we don't get. And then we get discouraged and we say, God doesn't answer prayer. Oh, my friend, He does. Only sometimes He says no. And He says no because He knows what He's doing. He's God. He's God. But thank God, He is God. Now, folks, don't you think that today the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father? And don't you think for a moment, or don't you think with me tonight that the Lord Jesus sitting by the Father is thankful that the Father did not answer His prayer? I mean, while we may not completely understand it now, why some of our prayers are refused and the answer is, that we want is not given, I dare say that there is going to come a day when we will all stand around the throne and we will know all things even as we are known, and we will be thankful for the thousands of silly requests that we asked of God that would have been consumed upon our own lust instead of that which would be bringing honor and glory to Him. And honestly believe that blended with our gratitude for all the goodness and mercy that has been granted to us, we will also have a thankfulness for all the prayers we uttered through the years that were refused. Now, I don't know if you ever thought of it in that light, but folks, listen, what a great promise this is. And I tell you, when you read this text verse and all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. All things. Now, don't you dare walk out of here and say, you know God doesn't answer prayer. Maybe you ought to change some of your prayers. Instead of going to God with the gimmies, why don't you go with to God with the helpmies? Why don't you go to God with the opportunities? Why don't you go to God with a heart that says, Lord, I want you to answer prayer so that in the answer you get the glory and not me. I want you to answer prayer so that in the answer you're the one that's exalted, not me. That's the prayer that God's going to jump on. When you go to God with the idea that God's going to do something and you're going to get the glory for it, the answer to that's going to be no. It's going to be a no every time. And folks, I stress it and I say it again. A no is an answer to prayer. Let's bow our heads. Well, our Father, we thank you for the word, and I pray you'll bless it tonight. Lord, I pray that every one of us here tonight will realize that we have a God that hears and answers prayer. Lord, many times our prayers are designed so that we're honored and we're glorified and we're puffed up and we're lifted up. And then we get to know, we get discouraged and we say, well, maybe this verse is not true. Well, Lord, it is true. And Father, we thank you for answering prayer. We thank you, Lord, for answering the prayer when our folks were down in St. Lucia, opening doors and, Lord, doors that previously had been slammed shut. But now, over 5,500 teenagers and children heard the gospel, many of them for the first time in their lives. Lord, you answer prayer. Lord, thank you for putting your hand of mercy upon folks that we have prayed for. Lord, warriors and folks that we don't want to lose them. We don't want to see them get debilitated and not be able to run their bus and sing in the choir and teach their class and work for you. And Lord, we pray and you put your hand on them and you bless them. Lord, we know you answer prayer. But it's these childish prayers that we ask, like that day in the sixth grade asking you to put that pen back on that badge. That was silly. But Lord, help us to realize that silliness is not going to be answered. But Lord, as we are burdened and as we are concerned about your honor and your glory, as we're concerned about your word and getting the message out, Lord, you're going to answer those prayers. You're going to save souls. You're going to empower us to do your work. You're going to enable us to be what we ought to be. So, Father, help us to pray, but Lord, help us to pray the right way. And give us, Lord, a spiritual consciousness and awareness of how we ought to pray. I find it amazing the disciples came to you and they never said, help us, teach us how to build a church. They never said, teach us how to study the Word. They never said, teach us how to win souls. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Lord, we have not because we ask not. And may we get a burdened heart for prayer tonight. And Lord, realize this promise is true. Oh, dear God, speak to our hearts. And Lord, if you didn't answer your own son's prayer because you knew better, it was outside of your will. You sent him here to go to that cross. You could have delivered him. But Lord, you wouldn't because you love us. And so, Father, thank you. Now help us. Help us to love you in return. Bless now, I pray, during the invitation time. Lord, may this altar be filled with Christians on our faces and, Lord, drawing close to you tonight, yielded, surrendered, and saying, Lord, use me. Use me. Lord, there's some parents here that have some children. They need to come to this altar and pray about those kids. Lord, they need to throw themselves on the altar. Those are prayers that are answered. Lord, those are prayers that's the right kind of praying. When we're praying for one another, when we're praying for power, when we're praying for souls. Lord, when we're praying for us, we're praying for the gimmies. Oh, my. We wonder what the problem is. Well, Lord, the problem's us. So help us to have a heart, Lord, that's praying for others. Lord, just do your work in our midst here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.